What's driving Facebook's record profits? In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Midday Update. Facebook's shares jumped 12% in after-hours trading after the social media company posted more than $1 billion quarterly profit for the first time. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson is here to help us wade through all that cash. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Amy.
So where is this revenue coming from?
Well, in a word, advertising. In two words, mobile advertising. Facebook brought in $5.6 billion in advertising in the fourth quarter alone. Mobile ads made up 80% of that. We talked to Mark Mahaney. He's an analyst who covers Facebook for RBC Capital Markets.
Facebook has clearly gone from being an experimental ad buy to a must ad buy for advertisers. There's no way they could be generating now more than a $20 billion advertising revenue run rate, growing at 66% year over year, if they weren't a must ad buy.
He said that growth rate, it's tough to find that kind of acceleration in companies as big as Facebook. And it's not just advertising on Facebook. The company doesn't break out figures for Instagram, which it owns, but COO Sheryl Sandberg did say that 98 of the top 100 Facebook advertisers also advertised on Instagram in the fourth quarter.
But wait a minute. Considering where Facebook's advertising business was only a few years ago, wasn't it being sort of called out for its lack of a mobile strategy?
Right, which certainly means that they had the room, if you will, for this growth, but it also makes the pace of change all the more striking. Here's Mahaney again.
What's equally impressive is the level of profits that they're able to generate, how high the margins are. There's only one other company in the history of the internet that's been able to generate that kind of growth with that level of profitability.
And that was, drumroll, Google in 2005, 2006.
Yeah, so 10 years ago. Well, Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson, thank you very much.
Thanks, Amy.
It's a big day for corporate earnings news with companies like Amazon, Caterpillar, Ford, and Microsoft all reporting their fourth quarter results today. We're also watching for Visa's quarterly earnings. Toward the end of last year, the credit card giant agreed to buy its European counterpart, Visa Europe, in a deal worth more than $20 billion. Ashley Milne-Tite reports now on how the deal is panning out as the cashless economy expands.
Visa spun off Visa Europe back in 2007 when the company went public. Now they're coming back together. Odysseus Papadimitriou is CEO of Wallet Hub.
When you do not have a unified company with a unified platform and culture and priorities, I think that was a big problem.
That and the fact that Europe holds a lot of promise. Ben Woolsey is CEO of CreditCardForum.com. He says cash and checks still account for more than a third of European spending.
Compare that in the U.S. to roughly 10%. So there is tremendous opportunity to Visa to make inroads into electronic payments and moving consumers' preferences toward more efficient payment methods.
Visa Europe brought in record revenue last fiscal year, partly because it introduced so many contactless payment cards. That's where you tap a card on a reader to pay rather than swipe or dip. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
In the city of Paris, the bookstore probably best known to Americans is the famous Shakespeare and Company, an English language bookshop on the Seine with lines of tourists out the door. But even in the age of Amazon, there are lots of independent bookstores in the French city. Emma Jacobs reports now on how so many booksellers survive.
This neighborhood in eastern Paris has pretty much reached peak bookshop, one nearly every other block. La Manoeuvre has long shelves down the middle, tall windows. Its owner, Jérôme Cuvelier, says he did around $1 million in business last year. In 10 years, Cuvelier says he's doubled revenues. In part, he credits a French law for helping his shop and other independents. That's the Lang Law, passed in 1981. It prohibited stores from discounting the prices set by French publishers by more than 5%. Chain bookstores had just started appearing at the time. But now they can't charge significantly less for a title than a bookseller like Cuvelier. He says the law ensured the survival of the city's fabric of independent bookstores. Today, that fabric helps them to combat the online giants. The bookshops of Eastern Paris have a consortium. Customers who want to order online can do so on the group site. Books get sent to the store nearest them. Cuvelier says because there are so many stores, this can be as convenient as Amazon. More recently, the French government also banned combining a book discount with free deliveries. Another blow to Amazon. The online retailer has called that discrimination against online shoppers. But there's also a cultural reason for the resilience of France's, and especially Paris's, bookshops, argues Vincent Monadet. He's president of the National Center of the Book, a part of the Ministry of Culture.
I think the law is the principal reason why we keep bookshop, but also the cultural reason is important.
The thing about the French, he says,
we love books.
And this book-loving country may also just be more attached to old-fashioned paper. While e-book sales represented more than 20% of books sold in the U.S. in 2014, they were just 3% of titles sold in France. In Paris, I'm Emma Jacobs for Marketplace.
Keep an eye on those gas station price boards. Crude oil prices neared $34 a barrel this morning, hitting a three-week high. That's up from a 12-year low set earlier this month and comes as big oil producers signal they may cooperate to cut production. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.